Chapter 22 is talking about the sin committed by Jerusalem. And chapter 22, verse 15, the prediction that Israelite will scatter around the world. So chapter 22, verse 15. I will disperse you among the nations and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end of your uncleanness. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nation, you will know that I am alone. So this is the prophecy of the impending judgment of God because of their sin. Without repentance. So God is going to hold them accountable and is going to make them scatter around all the nations. They will be dispersed around every corner of the world, even though they have temple and they have the holy city, but they were unable to live in the temple and holy city and worship God. And from 17 to 21, there was another description about Jerusalem. Jerusalem are just like many different kind of metal put together in the melting pot. In verse 18, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me, and all them are the copper, tin, iron, lead, left inside a furnace, and they are but the dross of silver. So God is going to allow the fire to come, and the hot fire is going to melt them all together. And this fire, according to verse 21, is the wrath of God coming to them. So they are going to melt away, like all different kind of metal melt together into pieces. And chapter 22, verse 13, talk about the sin they had committed. And verse 28, even though they commit a lot of sin, and the prophets are supposed to warn them to depart from the sin and to live a righteous life, so that God can reconcile himself with them. However, according to what God observed, the false prophet failed to fulfill their duty. So her prophet whitewashed this deed of them by false vision and lying divinations. So they are supposed to preach the warning, but they give them a false vision and tell them, peace, peace. When they were living under the sins, they will have no peace. But when the prophet keep on saying, peace, peace, so they feel okay to continue to stay in sin. So they whitewash the life of the deeds of the Israelites without condemning them. So that is the reason when the fifth wind blow on Jerusalem, they are going to like a wall collapse badly. When the wrath of God comes like a mighty wind, they are going to all collapse it. Okay? So the fundamental reason for the ruin of Jerusalem and the burning down of the temple is the sin committed by the Israelites in the holy city. But there is another reason. Verse 30. I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have destroyed it. So God would not have destroyed the city of Jerusalem if God was able to find a person who would stand on the bridge. And the bridge is the sin committed by the Israelites. Just like Moses stood on the bridge when the Israelites worshipped the idol. If there were no Moses stood on the bridge, pray for 40 days and 40 nights, the Israelites would have perished. Foothill of the Mount Sinai. So today, if we see our family member commit sins, or you see our beloved brother and sister commit sins. Very important. We have to intercede for them. Not only warn them, we have to tell them you are wrong and intercede for them. So that the wrath of God will not come to them. If we fail to warn them, to intercede for them spiritually, they will be destroyed like the city, Jerusalem. So God is looking for somebody who can stand on the bridge, but God was not able to find anyone. So if you want to serve God, one lesson you have to learn, which means always pray for the church. Regardless of what kind of weakness you have seen in the church, the first thing to do is to pray and ask God to forgive, and ask God to move people's sin, people's hearts, so they know how to return, how to repent. So verse 31, so I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with fear, anger, and bringing down on their own head all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. They commit sin and nobody pray for them. That is the reason the punishment of God is coming. If there was somebody pray for them, then God would not have pulled down all the wrath. And chapter 22 uses two women committing adultery to represent two cities who commit spiritual adultery. And the two cities is Samaria and Jerusalem. And actually, there was a name in verse 4, chapter 22, verse 4. You have become guilty because of the 23, verse 4. Okay. And the older was named Ohola, and her sister was named Ohaliha, and they were mine, and give birth to sons and daughters. So God proclaimed, they were mine. Because this is a marital covenant. So these two cities belong to God, and God belong to them. Okay, in chapter 23, there was a very vivid graphical description about how did they commit adultery. So chapter 23 can be understood in two ways. The first is the literal meaning. The second is the spiritual meaning. So what does it mean, committing fornication or adultery? If anyone get involved with the sexual behavior described in chapter 23, anyone involved with the sexual behavior described in chapter 23, then this person is in the process of fornication. So don't try to be technically define what is fornication. Don't try to find a loophole. If you are engaging in any of the activity described in chapter 23, you read from verse 1 and to the end of chapter 23. If you engage in any of this kind of behavior, you are in the process of fornication. Fornication referring to if you are unmarried, you have this kind of relationship with unmarried one, you are fornication. But if you are engaging this activity with a married partner who has a wife or who has a husband, then you are engaging in adultery. So you can know from verse 1 to the end, you read by yourself and you understand what did they do. And spiritually speaking, it is the same. Spiritually speaking, it's the same. Whom did they commit adultery with? In verse 5, chapter 22, verse 5. Those who are near, 23, verse 5, sorry. Ohola engaged in prostitution while she was still mine, and she lusted after her lover, the Assyrian. So what does that mean? It's Jerusalem. lust after her lover, Assyria. Actually, Assyria is a country. It's a group of people. Actually, they try to make a political alliance with Assyria. And how come make a political alliance with Assyria spiritually is equivalent to commit adultery? Then you read verse 35, you understand. Chapter 23, verse 35. 35. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Since you have forgotten me and thrust me behind your back, you must bear the consequence of your lewdness and prostitution. What does that mean? That Jerusalem had forgotten God and thrust God behind their back when they encounter difficulty. Instead of self-reflection and repent and return to God and rely on God for deliverance. During the time of difficult time, they make a political alliance with Assyria, with Egypt, with Babylon, trying to resolve their difficulties without relying on God. So God feels jealous. Just like after you get married, if you have difficulty, instead of you asking your husband to help, you just shrug your husband aside and you ask another man or woman to help you. How will your spouse feel? Your spouse will feel in his heart or her heart, there is no position of you. So your spouse will get hurt. Same with the Heavenly Father. He feels been hurt when the Israelites try to rely on foreign nation instead of relying on God. Okay. So the verse 5 talk about Assyria. And verse 8 talk about Egypt. So ever since they were young, Egypt, they have a prostitution with Egyptian. Okay. And then verse 14, they talk about Chaldean. The people come from Chaldean, which means Babylon, in verse 16. They send the messenger to Babylon to ask for help. So according to 17, just like they are using the same bed and doing the prostitution, because they rely on the foreign nation. Until verse 29, talk about the prostitution they have been doing. So they are double meaning. If you don't know what is fornication, come and read Ezekiel chapter 23, and that is fornication. So don't try to look for any loophole. Okay. Now, 30 and 31 is a consequence. Chapter 23, 30. I have brought this upon you. Now, because you lusted after the nation and defiled yourself with your idol. 31. You have gone the way of your sister. So I will put her cup into your hand. What does cup mean? A cup means cup of God's wrath. So if you drink the wine, after you drink a cup of wine, right, you will get drunk, right? But wine will make you feel a little bit, what? Relaxed. So a lot of people like to drink the wine. But this is the cup of God's wrath. when you drink the cup of God's bread, what is going to happen? 32 and 33, verse 32. And this is what the sovereign Lord says. You will drink your sister's cup, a cup large and deep. It will bring scorn and derision, for it holds so much. 33. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. For you will drink it and drink it dry. You will dash it to pieces and tear your breast. So I have spoken to the sovereign Lord. So they are going to drink the wrath of God like a big cup of wine. 35, because you have forgotten me. You are unfaithful to God. That was the reason. So 36 onwards, talk about these two adulterous women's sexual promiscuity. And they even cure their daughters, 39, and over to the idol. And they enter into the sanctuary and defile the sanctuary and worship the idol in God's temple. So the sin is so serious. 43 to the end of 23, we talk about they are going to receive very serious punishment. And 43 is something very interesting. 43. Okay. Then I said about the one worn out by adultery. Now, let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. Okay? So they are like a woman who were worn out by adultery. Verse 49. And you will suffer the penalty for your lewdness and bear the consequence of your sin of idolatry. So in the eyes of God, idolatry is adultery, spiritual. Idolatry, you worship the idol, is committing spiritual adultery. So either adultery or adultery, both of them is no good. Serious sin against God. Okay. Now, so this is the end of chapter 24. It talks about the sin committed by Jerusalem and the consequence. And it is a prediction that God's judgment is coming to chapter 23 and chapter 24. Okay. So chapter 24 is a prediction of the ruin of Jerusalem. Any question? Now we look into the chapter 24, the cooking part. Chapter 24, verse 3, tell the rebellious house a parable and say to them, this is what the servant of the Lord said, put on the cooking pot, put it on and pour water into it, and put into the pieces of milk, meat, and all the choice meat, the leg and the shoulder. Fill it with the best of the bones. So originally, the people in the Israelite, the people of Israel in Jerusalem thought they are the best choice of the meat put into the pot, which they will be contained inside the pot, which means they are not going to throw out of Jerusalem. They are not going to be disturbed, be dispersed. They are not going to go under captivity because they are the best choice of the meat put into the pot. However, the real situation is quite different. Verse 6. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed. And the pot was encrusted. Those who deposit will not go away. Empty the pieces of the place by empty it piece by piece without casting lot for them. So empty it piece by piece means what? Empty the city of Jerusalem piece by piece means one by one. Everyone is going to be driven out of the city. So the city is going to be like an empty pot. And that was not the end. That was not the end. Okay. Verse 10. So heap on the wood and kindle the fire. Cook the meat well. Mix in spices, and let the bone be charred. Verse 11. And set the empty pot on coils till it become hot and this copper grows, so its impurities may be melted and its deposit burn away. So not only the pot should be emptied, the pot has to be continued burned by the fire until the rust has been burned away, until the deposit has been removed, which means Jerusalem is going to be under big tribulation until their impurity has been totally removed. So this is the prophecy of the impending invasion of the foreign nation. It's an impending judgment of God with fire to remove their iniquity. Okay. And then chapter 24 from 15 to 27. God commanded Ezekiel not to mourn about his wife's death. Actually, wife is the one who was the most closest one to Ezekiel. So when a wife died, he must cry a lot, right? Because it's your beloved one. But God commanded him that when your wife died, you should not cry. You should not show the sign of mourn. So after God told him this, in verse 18, in that evening, his wife died. And then the second day morning, he just obeyed the command of God and just exactly followed what God asked him to do. And what does that try to, what does the message God want Ezekiel to get across? Okay, verse 21, chapter 24, verse 21. Say to the house of the Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am about to desecrate my sanctuary, the strong feet in which you take pride in delight of your eyes, the object of your affection. So Jerusalem, to the people who live inside it, just like the wife to the prophet of Ezekiel, the beloved one and the one the people in Jerusalem take pride. Also, it is a prediction when Jerusalem was under siege, was under the attack of the other, of the Babylon, they should not mourn. Okay, verse 28, verse 25. Then you, son of man, on the day I take away your stronghold, their joy and glory and delight of their eyes, and their heart desire, and their son and daughter as well. On that day, a fugitive will come to tell you the news. At that time, your mouth will be opened and you speak with him, and who will no longer be silent. So that will be the day of God's punishment. That will be the day of the captivity of Israel. That will be the day that Jerusalem will be burned down, be turned into ruins. Okay. So this is chapter 24. So the judgment of the Israelite ended in chapter 24. And from chapter 25, this is the judgment against all other nations. From chapter 25 to 32 is the judgment against all other nations. Now we go into chapter 25. Chapter 25 is a just prophecy against Ammon. Why Ammon was condemned by God? From verse 1 to verse 7. Why? Why was Ammon condemned by God? Verse 6. The reason is verse 6. For this is what the sovereign Lord said. Because you have clapped your hand and stamped your feet, rejoicing with all the matters of your heart against the land of Israel. So while Israel was under the punishment of God, the people in Ammon rejoiced. That was the reason God is going to condemn them too. As what we mentioned previously, God will never rejoice for a people's death. God rather see everybody to live. But that was the compassion of God. And the people of Ammon lack this kind of compassion. So when they see Israelite under the retribution of God, they feel glad. And that was their sin. And God is going to deal with their sin accordingly. Okay. And chapter 25, verse 8 onwards to verse 11 is a prophecy against Moab. And what was the reason they prophesied against Moab? It's almost the same reason. And verse 12 to verse 14. It talk about the prophecy against Edom. Why God tried to condemn the Edom? Verse 12. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Because Edom took revenge on the house of Judah and become very guilty by doing so. So Edom actually adopted a very hostile attitude towards the chosen people while they are traveling in the wilderness. And Edom was the descendant of Esau. The descendant belong to the flesh. So God is going to condemn them. God is going to punish them. And verse 15 to the end of chapter 25 is a prophecy against Philistine. What was the reason? The same reason. Verse 15. And this is what the sovereign Lord said, because Philistine acted in vengeance and took revenge with malice in their heart and with ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah. So anyone who against the chosen people, God was angry with them. Anyone who tried to do harm to God's chosen people actually is trying to do harm to God himself. So God is going to revenge for his chosen people. So we should not take advantage of your fellow brother and sister. He is the Father in heaven, right? If you mistreat your brother or your sister, when your brother and sister cry a lot and pray to the Father in heaven, God is going to what? And come after you. You see, when Israel was in Egypt, right? The Egyptian mistreated the Israelites, and Israel cried about, and that crying reached to heaven. And God said, I'm going to come down and take a look, right? And really, they mistreated the chosen people. And they don't, God sent down the disaster to the Egyptians. So our fellow brothers and sisters, they have a Father in heaven. Don't mistreat them. Treat them well. Don't revenge. If you revenge, God will go after you. So be careful. Don't take advantage of any brother and sister. Don't do any harm to the brothers and sisters. They have a Father in heaven. who is a father of mercy and is a father of justice. If you overdo it, God is going to go after you. So chapter 26 is a prophecy against Tyre. And Tyre is a harbor city. It's a city, commercial city. So Tyre, for a period of time, was very prosperous because of commercial activity. Has earned a lot of money and lived a very luxurious life. And how come God tried to destroy the city of Tyre? Verse 2, the first reason, verse 2. 26, verse 2. Son of man, because Tyre has said to Jerusalem, aha, the gate of the nation is broken and its door has been swung open to me. Now that she lies in ruin, I will prosper. So Tyre rejoiced because of the suffering of Jerusalem. So God did not like that. That was the reason God tried to punish the Tyre. And verse 7 onwards, chapter 26, verse 7 onwards, God is going to allow Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to command a mighty army to invade the city of Tyre and to destroy them. So it was not God who is going to destroy them directly. God is going to use his instrument, the king of Babylon, to execute the punishment of God. So Babylon is coming. And verse 15, you talk about the terrible moment is coming when Tyre was attacked by Babylon, when God's wrath fell down on the city of Tyre. That will be a very awful moment, a very dreadful moment for the city of Tyre. So verse 19, this is what the sovereign Lord said, when I made you desolate city, like the city no longer inhabited, and when I bring the ocean depth over you, and its vast water cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit. So God is going to bring down the tyrant. The first reason is they rejoice because of Israel's downfall. How about the second reason? Let's see chapter 27. There is the second reason. The second reason? Because of her pride. Why Tyre was proud? You see chapter 27, verse 3. Says Tyre, situated at the gateway to the sea, a merchant of the people on many coasts. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You say, O Tyre, I am perfect in beauty. Your domain was on the high sea. Your builder brought your beauty to perfection. So Tyre actually was a very beautiful city, almost a perfect city. In Tyre, there was a lot of wise men. So verse 8. Men of Sidon and Abed were your horsemen. Your skilled men, O Tyre, what about as your seamen? So Tyre was filled with a lot of wise men. And then in chapter 27, verse 11, Tyre has a mighty army. They raise up a mighty army, so they have might, strong in military power. So Tyre was rich, and Tyre has a wise man, and Tyre is strong in military power. And verse 12 onwards talk about a lot of rich people gather in the city of Tyre to do the business. And there was a lot of beautiful and wonderful merchandise. They are doing the trading there. However, verse 26 talk about the downfall of the city of Tyre. So Tyre will no longer prosper again. So nowadays, do you know the city of Tyre? The city of Tyre is a little bit northern part of the country of Israel. Right now, nobody knows the city of Tyre, right? The Bible actually say Tyre will no longer be prosper again. Okay? And 28 talk about another reason why God punished the city of Tyre. And this is even more serious reason. Verse, chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. The words of the Lord come to me. Verse 2. Son of man, said the ruler of the Tyre, this is what the servant the Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a God. I sit on the throne of God, in the heart of the seas. But you are a man, not a God. Though you think you are as wise as a God. So why God want to destroy the city of Tyre? Because the people in the city of Tyre consider themselves as God. They take the position of God in their own heart, in their own life. If you were God, are you going to allow that happen? Are you going to allow that happen? If there was an anger in your home, was able to speak aloud, I am God. What are you going to do? Are you saying you're God? You say one thing, but you can kill the end, right? So God looked down from heaven. The Tyre said, I am God. God looked down from heaven. You don't want to repent? I'll give you time to repent. Don't repent. I know that he destroyed that city. So Tyre is nothing but a city, and the people consider themselves as God, very proud about themselves. They sit on the throne of God. And then here we see verse 3. This is the indictment of Tyre's sin. Are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? Verse 4. By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries. Verse 5. But your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth and become your wealth. Because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. So Tyre was proud because of richness. Okay? And richness actually is a blessing of God. But if we are not careful, the blessing of God sometimes will cause us to become proud. When we become proud, we are in the beginning of downfall. We are in the beginning of the end. We people are so weak. We always feel proud of ourselves, even though everything we have actually is coming from God. Okay. And from verse 11 to the verse 19, there are two interpretations. The first interpretation is to interpret Tyre because of the beauty and the richness and the wisdom and the mighty power. So Tyre become proud, want to take the position of God, so God destroyed the city. On the second interpretation, verse 11 to verse 19, some people quoted, this is a downfall of the angel. So sometimes it's double meaning. Because the teaching of the Bible has an inside meaning and outside meaning. Outside meaning is literal meaning. Inside meaning is a spiritual meaning. How come somebody interpret as a downfall of the angel? Verse 14. Chapter 28, verse 14. You were anointed as a guardian cherubim. So each angel was anointed a guardian cherubim. For so I ordained you, you were on the holy mount of God. Okay, that was angel. You walk among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your way from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Now, and then, verse 14. Verse 17. Your heart become proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I make a spectacle of you before kings. So that was an accusation of God to the tyrant or to the angel who was proud. So he was much done. No longer to serve God anymore. And the same chapter verse 20 to 24 is a prophecy against Sidon. Sidon is another harbor city. If you look into the map, you're going to see not far away from Tyre. Why did God destroy that? There was same reason. Because they have sinned. And 25 to the end of chapter 28. This is a sovereign law proclaimed that while God was going to pour down his wrath on the Israel, on the foreign nation, but there was a mercy of God to his chosen people. Verse 25. This is what the sovereign Lord says. When I gather the people of Israel from the nation where they have been scattered, I will show myself holy among them in the sight of the nation. Then they will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. And they will live there in safety and will build house and plant a vineyard. And they will live in safety when I inflict punishment on all their neighbors who manage them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So eventually God is going to show mercy to them again after God punished them. So God exercised justice and followed by his mercy. These are the two divine character of God go hand by hand. And chapter 29, now, in God turned his attention to another superpower in that generation, in the era of the prophet Ezekiel. The prophecy against Egypt. The prophecy against Egypt. Verse 3. What happened to Egypt? Verse 3. Speak to him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster lying among your stream. You say, the Nile is mine. I made it for myself. Verse 4. But I will put a hook into your jaw and make a fish of your stream stick to your scale. And I will pour you out from among your stream. When a fish been hooked and pulled out of the water, what can the fish do? The fish can only wait to die. Now, so which means in Egypt, even though they proclaim they are almighty, but God is going to hook them and pull them out of the river, and they only wait for die. Wait for death. This is to prophesy Pharaoh is going to be punished by God, from verse 1 to verse 7. Verse 8. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord said, I will bring sword against you, And will kill your men and their animals. And Egypt will become desolate wasteland. And they will know I am the Lord. So when God exercised his punishment to the Egypt, even the foreign nation will know the only one God is the true God. And the same chapter, verse 13 to 16, mentioned that after 40 years, God is going to throw them back again. So God still has mercy after the Egyptian. However, verse 16, Egyptians shall no longer become 16. Egypt will no longer be a source of confidence for the people of Israel, but will be a reminder of their sin in turning to her for help. So Egyptians will no longer be a reliance of Egypt, of Israel. And then verse 17 to the 20, God is going to reward Babylon with the land of Egypt, because Babylon was used by God as an instrument to invade Tyrant, to destroy Tyrant. So God reward Egypt with the land of Egypt. Reward Babylon with the land of Egypt. Verse 21. In that day, what is going to happen? 21. On that day, I will make a horn grow for the house of Israel, and I will open your mouth among them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So God is going to bless the Israelite again. Chapter 30 is a lament for Egypt, mourn for the Egypt. So from verse 1 onwards, talk about the difficult time is coming. So the people in Egypt should cry, should weep. So verse 6, this is what the Lord said. Allies of Egypt will fall, and her proud strength will fail. From the Migdol to Aswan, and they will fall by the sword with her, declare the sovereign Lord. And who is going to come and destroy Egypt? Verse 10. Let's see verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord say: I will put an end to the hordes of Egypt by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Babylon was under the control of God, being used by God as an instrument to fulfill God's purpose, to destroy the country of Egypt. So God was in control of human history. So verse 13 onwards, in that day onwards, all the idols will be removed from the Egypt. All the fire will be burning in Egypt. And then verse 19, when they suffer from all these kind of calamities and disasters, they will know I am the Lord. So they can know I am the Lord by God's mercy and also by God's justice. Today is the same. We will know God in two ways. The first way, experience God's blessing through his mercy. The second way, experience God's punishment through his justice. Both ways, we can know God, experience God. So this is chapter 13. And verse 21 is a prophecy. That the Pharaoh is going to be defeated and all his army is going to be killed. And so verse 23. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations and scatter them through the countries. And verse 24 to 26, God is going to strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand. But I will put my sword in his hand, and I will break the arms of Pharaoh, and he will groan before me, before him, like a mortally wounded man. So this is a prophecy that Babylon is going to invade Egypt and inflict suffering to the Egyptian. Okay. And chapter 31 is the cedar in Lebanon. So God tried to describe the beauty of the Assyria, which is chapter 31. Let's see, chapter 31. Verse 2. Son of man, say the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his forces, who can be compared with you in majesty? Verse 3. Consider Assyria, one is a cedar in Lebanon, with beautiful branches overshadowing the forest. Its tower on high, and its top above the thick foliages. So he talk about the beauty of Assyria. And like a tree of cedar, grown high above and very strong and very prosperous and very beautiful. And verse 9. I made it beautiful with abundant branches, the envy of the trees of Eden in the garden of God. So the Assyrian, it was so strong, so beautiful, even the garden, the tree in the garden of Eden envy about Assyria. Okay, so Assyria at that time was very strong. However, verse 10 onwards. Verse 10. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord said, because it towered on high, deep in the top above the thick foliage, and because it was proud of its height, I handed it over to the ruler of the nations for him to deal with according to its wickedness. I cast it aside. So Assyrian is going to be destroyed because of its proud. So anyone who is proud eventually will be brought down by God. So a God against those who are proud and will bless those who are humble. So from the history, we just mentioned so many chapters. Anyone, any country who is a proud, who is proud, it's in the beginning of the end. So the same with us. Humility will bring the blessing of God. Once we receive more abundant blessing from God and we become proud of ourselves, we are in the beginning of the end. Okay. And verse 18 onwards, once again, mentioned about Egypt. Egypt will be corrupted too. Pharaoh will be punished by God too. Okay. Chapter 32. Chapter 32 is the lament for Pharaoh. Actually, for a period of time, Pharaoh was very, very strong, very, very glorious. You look into the pyramid, right? Pyramid. What was the purpose they built the pyramid? What was the purpose? To bury the kings. So the pyramid itself is to represent the beauty and the strength of Egypt in the ancient time. So a period of time, Egypt was very strong. However, because of the pride of the Egypt, God is going to bring down the Egypt. Okay. So verse 11, chapter 30, verse 11 to verse 16. Chapter 32. Let's see verse 11. Chapter 32. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. The sword of the king of Babylon will come against you. 12. I will cause your fortress to fall by the sword of mighty men, the most ruthless of all nations. The most ruthless of all nations is Babylon. And they will shatter the pride of Egypt, and all her fortress will be overthrown. And I will destroy her cattle from beside abundant waters, no longer to be stirred by the foot of men. So Egyptian is going to fall because Babylon is going to destroy them, to overtake them. And verse 17 is a prediction. Eventually, the country of Egypt is going to be totally ruined, disappear from the world. So this is a prediction of the end of Egypt. Now, verse 31. Chapter 32, verse 31. Pharaoh, he and all his army will see them, and he will be counseled for all his herald that were killed by the sword, declared the sovereign Lord. 32. Although I had him spread terror in the land of the living Pharaoh. In the living, Pharaoh and his hordes will be laid among the uncircumcised, which is killed by the sword. So eventually all of them will be killed, will be destroyed. So this is the end of 32. All the nation being judged and condemned and punished. So God is a God of justice. God do the retribution because of injustice. So this is 32. Tomorrow we are going to from 33. 33 onwards to 39 is a consolation for Israel. So after God pronounced all his judgment, all his justice, start from 33 to 48, God start to mention about his mercy, his compassion. So 33 to 39 is the restoration. And 40 to 48 is the vision of New Jerusalem. It's a bright future of the true church, the spiritual kingdom of God, New Jerusalem. So tomorrow we are going to continue. Do you have 2 minutes? Any questions? Oh, pretty fast, right? The reach to 32. They should be condemned. They don't have the law to tell them you are wrong, right? They don't have the law, but they have a natural law. The natural law is conscience, right? If they have been doing all these kind of wicked things, I think their conscience is guilty. Yeah. One more minute. There's one sister ask, can we go for shopping, right? Do the grocery shopping after the Sabbath service? I think we have to hold on the principle. The principle of Sabbath is a holy day. 2 things we are not going to do is to pursue the material gain. The second is to do the worldly entertainment. Okay? So these 2 things we don't pursue it purposely. And in the Sabbath we have to keep it holy. Means, this is the day to belong to God. We try to love God and to serve God. We try to love men and try to show our good deeds. Or we just hold this principle to make a general judgment. Okay. the principle is to hold fast first. That's pretty simple.